Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Festive Donaldson. Pete, how you doing? Merry Christmas. Woohoo.
I'm all right, Chris. I mean, can I just let people through the curtains when it comes to the Abroad Japan podcast?
Begin.
Incredibly, for the very first time in about 3 years, Chris got the wrong time because of the time difference.
I did.
In the recording. So like we usually go on London time and I said 11:40. Now, Chris is a bit of a night owl to put it very, very bluntly. He's very into working until all hours. So he doesn't think that 11:40 at night is a weird time to request someone's presence. So Chris was thinking that we'd turn up at Tokyo time, Sendai time, 11:40 at night, 20 to 12, 20 to midnight. And we, of course, were supposed to be doing the show at 11:40 at London time. So Chris is really pulling this show out of his bum, staying up very, very late indeed. But it was his fault, so I'm unrepentant.
It was my fault. It's because I was editing this 12 Days of Christmas series. I just lost all track of time. But what I will say, it's interesting. When I was a kid, and just living in the UK in general, right, up until the age of 22, 11:40, it always felt kind of late. It's a late time, objectively.
It is a late time.
But in Japan, because things are just open all night, whether we're talking restaurants, bars, host clubs, hostess clubs, convenience stores, like 11:40 doesn't feel late. It's sort of people still out and about having fun. There's a much bigger sort of nightlife culture across the board in Japan. Of course, we have dodgy clubs in the UK and things, but like in Japan, just things are open more at night. So you get to like 11, doesn't feel that late.
Oh yeah, I think Britain. I mean, London pretends that it's a 24-hour city.
It's not. It's not at all.
It's barely even 11 hours, to be honest. It's everything closes at 2. You can't get anything for love nor money after 2 o'clock. But you're right, and if you are incredibly jet lagged when you go to Japan and you wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, you've got a good long 6-hour wait before the department stores open. If you want to go get some shopping, if you want to go get some gifts and stuff. So you're right. Everything kind of opens a little bit later as well when it comes to restaurants and like they'll open about 11 rather than for the breakfast rush. Maybe that's why breakfast isn't such a big thing in Japan. It feels like
it's possible. Yeah, I mean, I like that phrase 24-hour city. I remember the first time I went to one. It was probably Dubai. Dubai is a 24-hour city just because it's so hot. Right at night, that's when people can actually go outside. But like other 24-hour cities, like Hong Kong, 24 hours. Seoul, 24 hours.
Fair.
Tokyo, 24 hours. Hotter cities, I guess. But, I love a 24-hour city. And London's not a 24-hour city. London.
And I'm getting to the point where I can't visit them anymore because A, the coronavirus, and B, I get very tired.
You're an old man now.
I get very tired, Chris.
Your fun days are behind you, Pete. No more fun for you, Pete.
Yep.
It ends now. Dumb the fun is over. We've got a story this week from Seven Socks San. Sincerely, it's a lot of alliteration. Crumulent Chris and Peppy Pete. My name's Evan from Chigai, Massachusetts, USA. It's very clever. He took your favourite Japanese word and implemented it into Massachusetts. Chigai, Mass. Which,
love
of course,
it
means no, it's different in Japanese. I studied Japanese on my own for a few years. In 2018, I figured enough was enough and life was too short. I researched for months before booking a flight to Japan along with an Airbnb for a measly $10 a night. That's an absolute steal of a price. A 200-year-old traditional house nestled in the side streets of Osaka. The price was great, but the many pictures of a beaming older man named Suzuki-san with his two cats in various poses seemed like reason enough to commit to the property. Within minutes, I received a lengthy email from Suzuki-san in nearly perfect English with information on points of interest near him and the daily meditation he offered. When I finally landed, I emailed Suzuki-san to let him know I'd be arriving. Within seconds, a short Japanese man adorning Buddhist work clothes wove effortlessly through the crowd on his bike and screeched to a halt in front of me. "Evan-san," he exclaimed. "Suzuki-san, how did you find me?" I asked. Me being 6'4", he said, "Not many white people here who are tall, Evan-san." over the next few days, we would spend a lot of time together storytelling, meditating at the grounds of Osaka Castle and forming a very organic but surface-level friendship. One day, I returned home after wandering the city to find that Suzuki-san had done my laundry for me. I thanked him profusely for his kindness and he said, "Don't worry, Evan-san, I have a question." He led me to where my socks were drying outside. "One, two, three pair of socks, okay?" I nodded. "But," he continued and pointed at a stray seventh sock, "is this for..." I was confused. He then pointed at his crotch and made an awkward motion with his hand. I turned bright red and burst into laughter. "My friend, it's okay," he continued. "Your girlfriend is far away. You can do this thing here."
You can. You have to say masturbate, Chris. I'm really sorry. You don't want to say it. I'll say it for you. He said masturbate.
He did.
You have to.
Another explicit podcast.
You have to. You just have to. This story hinges on the word masturbate, and there's nothing you or I can do about it, Chris, all right? Carry on.
Suzuki-san said, "Your girlfriend's far away. You can masturbate here. I'm just glad no mess. Suzuki-san, I promise..." "I just forgot my eighth sock." We couldn't stop laughing. He said, okay.
Suzuki-san.
"But now I call you Seven Socks-san." From that moment on, we clicked and we became the best of friends. When it was time to leave, Suzuki-san thanked me for being such a great guest. He told me, "Next time, you will not stay as a guest, but as a friend for free. Anytime you're welcome, just buy me a beer." I was so humbled. In the Airbnb review he left me, he wrote, "Sometimes guests feel like an old friend. That is Evan, Seven Socks-san." I ended up going again, having yet another unforgettable trip, including my first ever alcoholic drinking session at age 29, because Suzuki-san forgot that I was straight at the time and a straight edge at the time, and I was too polite to say no. Sincerely, Seven Socks-san.
Wow. I like that.
Lot to unpack.
Suzuki-san is a dirty, sexy bass player. He's a sexy, dirty bass player who, had a busy life in Europe in his 30s and he's grown a little older. And now he's casting aspersions on his Airbnb guests. imagine if he'd have been offended, imagine if he was, he wasn't into that kind of caper. He's highly religious and he didn't, spill his seeds on ground, on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. Fascinating. But yeah, sorry to hear you eschewed the life of being straight edge under Suzuki-san's.
Corrupted by Suzuki-san.
Corruption.
That's so cool. I mean, I'm not surprised that this man, Suzuki-san, was in Osaka. That's always where the most eccentric characters are. I remember I stayed in what claimed to be a hostel once in Osaka, near Dotonbori, near the district with all the cool stuff. And I went in. And I opened, it was just an apartment, right? And I opened the front door and I was like, "Hello?" And no word of a lie, a wardrobe door just burst open. A man just fell out onto the floor. And I was like, "What's going on?" It was like a comedy sketch. It was like Mr. Bean or something. He just fell out of the cupboard. He must have been drunk or something. He was like, "Come, we go now." And he sort of escorted me into what was the living room. And it was like the dirtiest living room I'd seen since Natsuki's house. And he went to a fridge, opened the fridge, and pulled out half an eaten melon and goes, "This, your gift." And I was like, "Oh, great." And I just sort of stood there with the melon. He was like, "This, your room." And it was just like a really crappy like broom cupboard that he put like a bunk bed in. I honestly felt like I'd been done. I felt like I'd been stitched up. But I went with it and I stayed there the night. And you know what? It was shit. It was really shit.
It was terrible.
I didn't go back. And there's no way that's still on booking.com because that must have been illegal.
Sounds like Suzuki. Oh, it's on booking.com, wasn't it?
It was on booking.com,
they've
got,
like, have proper.
I think brilliant. That was about $10 as well. Just cheap, dodgy properties.
Probably Suzuki-san again with his other property, his other boozy property. He jumps out, gives you a melon and go, "Fuck this. Have sex with this. No, girlfriend away. You have sex with this." It's Suzuki-san.
Both of these properties are Pete Donaldson properties. I know you would go and make the most of it,
Pete. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does sound quite fun, to be fair. Story this week. We have had some bad attacks on trains in Japan recently, unfortunately. To shift the mood, we had the Joker guy back in Halloween. Some idiot who wanted to cause problems and stabbed a lot of people and dressed as the Joker. And there was a few other incidents earlier in the year. And to sort of counter that, Japanese train companies have been preparing their staff to kind of fight back. Recently, JR East, the train company that runs all the trains from Tokyo eastwards up to like Sendai and Tohoku, where I am now, they conducted a mock attack following all these violent incidents. And you've been watching a video on it, Pete. What have you learned about it? What have you seen?
Well, the thing is, I didn't realize it was like an anti-terrorism or, you know, anti-knife attack thing that they were doing. I just saw on Twitter, NHK World or NHK, the Japanese news service, just tweeted out a video of this wacky dude running into the train carriage and for me, we all know how quiet you got to be on those trains. He was shouting. He was like looking like he was hitting somebody with a stick and stuff. And then this slew of guards, you know, they're dressed in the blue uniform of the Shinkansen, come down. One of them had a big hook. One of them had this big sort of circular hook. And he was kind of subduing the guy with this big hook. And I just didn't think it was that effective, to be honest.
God.
It just, if anything, it kind of pushed the miscreant into the people who were sat down just in trying to enjoy a train journey. But I didn't know what it was about. And then I sort of watched it a few times. I'm going, what is happening here? Mm. Is it a sketch? Is it a TV show? No, it's actually the Shinkansen. You know, they're training up the staff to deal with actual maniacs. But it was a fantastic, fascinating little video. I just didn't know what the hell was going on until you put in the running order this new story.
It all starts to make sense. I think
starts to make sense.
I think they've bolstered the security on these trains now, given all these incidents. I mean, they're rare. But they still happen often enough that I think people are worried. Although, unlike the US or Europe, where security guards have guns, in Japan they just have a stick. They love the stick. You see the police, they have these like really long, like fishing rod style poles with like a hook at the end, and they use it to sort of pin people back and pry people away. I remember when I was working at a school, like they had a tool where they could restrain a student and sort of keep them at arm's length, and it sort of hooks around a student's waist and pushes them against the wall. And I've never seen anything like it. It's really crazy. We're talking like a 5-foot-long metal rod with a sort of U-shaped hook at the end. And you use that and you charge at the person and you sort of hook it around their waist and force them against the wall so they can't get out of the hook.
And then knock them into the bucket, and then you win the prize.
And then kick them into Mount Doom.
Isn't it, Chris?
Kick them headfirst into Mount Doom.
They'll gamify anything, the Japanese, honestly. Unbelievable. Wow. It was really interesting stuff. I didn't realise the stick with the hook was actually a thing that the police use in Japan. But, wow, very interesting.
It's up there with... I mean, Japan is like an arsenal of weird weaponry because they just don't use guns. Mm. Like your favourite thing, right, is the paintball, isn't it? At convenience stores, the deterrent paintball.
Yes. Where you just don't see that anywhere apart from 7-Elevens or, you know, your family mart or whatever in Japan. This little kind of destructible egg a destructible ball. Or it looks a little bit like egg. You know, like a boule. You know, like a shiny boule that the French play in town squares and piazzas. They play their little boule game. It looks like that, but it's bright red and it's full of naughty red ink. and if a miscreant, I'm going to use the word miscreant against steals some. Steals a packet of chalk ice or something and runs out. You throw the ball at the ground in front of them or behind them, and the ink splashes up and you can't get rid of it. It's there.
What if you take your clothes off?
Can't get out your clothes.
Take your clothes off.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just take your clothes off, but it'll stay in your feet as well. I'm sure.
I mean, would that really do anything? Because say I steal a pack of biscuits, I get the paintball thrown at my leg. My jeans get covered in a little bit of red ink or whatever. I then get on the Ginza line in a crowd and no one's going to see my red stained jeans. And then that's it. I've escaped with my biscuits. Another crime has been committed.
It's a low win. Again, it's a low win prize, isn't it, really? A packet of biscuits on the Ginza line. I mean, what's the most valuable thing you could steal from a 7-Eleven anyway? A packet of cigarettes? I don't know.
No, probably a gift card or something.
Sake?
A gift card.
A gift card,
or a whiskey, you know. You can get like $50 whiskey sometimes at 7-Eleven. You could swindle that.
I would just be armed with those one-cup sakes and I'd throw them back. I'd throw them at the feet of the woman or man throwing the eggs at me.
It's all getting very calculating and evil, this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson perpetrating crimes. How he would evade the treacherous red paintball with his one-cup sake. I mean, one-cup sake in itself... Drinking that is a crime, let alone stealing it. God forbid. Oh, man. We'll be back with your stories and questions, guys, in just a moment with the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Jeff. Jeff, he's on the emails again. Oh, I might have not sent one before. I just said emails again because I got excited. It was alliterative. I enjoyed it. Hello, Chicken Chomping Chris. Speaking of alliteration and professional podcaster Pete. Greetings from San Diego, California. I want to ask both of you what your favorite souvenirs to buy for yourself and friends and family when you return home. Thank you for reading and answering my question. I can't wait to see what is coming from abroad in Japan in the future. Well, Chris is fifth video in his Christmas roll-up abroad in Japan session will be him shoplifting from 7-Eleven. Seeing what he can get away with.
One cup of sake. Yeah. Oh, crikey. I've still got the taste of one cup of sake in my mouth from like 2 months ago when I did a video. Delicious. That stuff, it just doesn't leave. You just can't forget it. But speaking of sake, I think that is the thing I bring the most. I often bring that to friends because you can't really get good sake in the UK. And if you do, it costs an arm and a leg. A lot of people don't like sake. It's an acquired taste. So I do bring umeshu, plum wine, which is universally beloved by all. I've never met anyone who doesn't like a little bit of plum wine, plum umeshu sake. So I get that. That's probably my number one gift, and that is universally loved compared to sake, which is What about you, Pete? What do you bring? What do you get apart from rice cookers from Narita Airport?
Those little I've never brought a rice cooker. I usually buy for myself a little bit of like 70s or 80s electronics that you sometimes see around the flea markets and the hard offs. But for friends and family, I buy those opai pudding things.
Opai pudding. Breast pudding.
Opai puddings. Breast pudding. It's like it's just puddings, two puddings in a breast formation. And it just says opai pudding. It's some anime bollocks. But you just never see these boob puddings anywhere else.
Yeah.
You've got to find the unique stuff that you don't find anywhere else. I buy a lot of the automaton little musical instruments. I buy mini CDs that you don't see anymore. We saw them for like a year in the UK. Mini CDs, cassette tapes of popular modern music, and mini discs as well, because we don't have this massive mini disc culture, this cassette tape culture. And Japanese import albums are pretty good as well because they always look a bit cooler than the British versions.
You bring back opai pudding, breast pudding. How does it not melt or just go horrible?
No, it's like it's this congealed, probably lasts for longer than I'm alive, pudding in like a clear plastic case in the shape of a brassiere.
Oh God.
It's just a funny, sexy little gift.
Sounds
that
no grim.
One's ever going to eat.
Truly, grim. the breast omiyage you could bring back.
I'll tell you what I buy. I'm going to get him. Chris, fill for 10 seconds.
I'll read the next one. While you do that. Hi, Chris. Chris McChrisface and Peter McPeteface. What is with these names? Here in the US, many people from northern states like to poke light fun at... Okay, just ignore
this
me.
This is what I
it's
always
Pete
buy,
Donaldson.
And it is kind of round about four friends and family. I buy A lot of greetings cards.
Greetings cards
in Japan.
Oh, they are very good.
Greetings cards in Japan are always a bit fucking mental. Look, here's, this one looks like a fish.
Oh, my God.
This one looks like a bloody fish. And it's actually like a plasticky, and you can see the flesh inside.
Ugh.
It's really weird. And I've got one that looks like just a cabbage leaf or a, what would that be? Bit of kale.
It does look like a cabbage leaf, yeah.
What does it say on the top? I can't really see.
It says, I can't really read it. Goma or something?
It's backwards.
Goma?
Oh, backwards?
Goya. It's a horrible vegetable.
Goya.
It's an Akita dog. Shiba Inu, maybe, actually.
Little Akita dog singing happy birthday card.
Wow.
Yeah, so I always buy, stop singing Akita dog. I always buy stupid stickers and little birthday cards. So when people's birthdays come around, I've always got a silly, cool, very unique Japanese card to give them. So yeah,
which
makes up for not buying them presents.
I mean, Japanese cards are like a cut above the rest. The quality is so good. Like my gran, Natsuki sent my gran a card like 5 years ago for Christmas.
Aww,
and she still bangs on about it now. She's like, that card was the best card I've ever had. And it was like, it lit up and sang a song about a tree. It was great. She loved it. Well done, though, Pete. I'm glad you've got some original cards.
Mm.
I hope I receive one myself this Christmas. Hi, Christopher. Christopher and Pete here in the US. Many people from northern states like to poke light fun at people who live in warmer climates for not being able to handle the cold winters. I know that Japan is also a country with extreme climates from top to bottom. Do people in Sapporo or Hokkaido ever tease people from further south, like Tokyo or Kagoshima, for not handling their frigid climates? From Timothy Welk. I don't know, actually. Have you ever heard of this, Pete? Have you ever met people that make fun of it here in Japan?
No, I think not really. And from what I've heard, because like, that's the first thing, if you've got the Northeast, that's the first thing that people tell you. Oh, the Geordies have got their tops off all the time. They've always got their tops off in the cold. It's starting to snow. I might put on a light cardigan because I'm from the north. It's frequently tragic. Especially because like down south, like especially I'll sort of use the example of like I've got a couple of friends who have Russian extended families, and they live in Siberia. You know, they come from Siberia stuff. And but when wherever they are, their heating is always massively turned up to a million because they appreciate having a nice warm house. So I don't think there's anything manly or anything kind of like brave to sort of go, I'm from a colder place than you are, because you know you just put your heating up more, don't you? I think anyway.
I mean, whenever I do a video in Hokkaido, and I'm like, oh, it's cold, it's minus 10.
Mm.
I always get comments from, I think, usually Canadians, like, you think that's cold?
Yeah.
Where I'm from, it gets to minus 40 minus degrees 40. Celsius. You're a pussy, man. And I get that a lot. And I'm like, shut up. It's
I'm
cold.
I'm from Yakutsk.
I've met people from Yakutsk. I met a really nice girl from Yakutsk, and she maintained that Japan felt colder than Yakutsk because the snow and the sort of air there was dry, whereas in Japan it gets very damp and moist and humid.
Yes.
And that makes it gives this really horrible cold feeling where it like gets into your clothes and makes the clothes feel like damp and horrible.
Out of all the coldest places I've been is probably Sapporo. I went to Cluj in Romania and it was minus 15 at times out and about. And honestly, Sapporo at minus 5 felt worse because you're right. It's damp and it's soggy and it penetrates your clothes a little bit more. I had to wear I went from like Tokyo that was like plus 12, plus 15 degrees Celsius, this is not Fahrenheit, to up to Sapporo in the same day, and it was like minus 5 or something. And the change is quite shocking.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Like Hokkaido is like a different country compared to Tokyo.
Get me thermals on.
Absolutely. We got a story here from Maximilian Shug, who says, hi, Chris and Pete. As I've been catching up on the podcast over the last few weeks while walking my little Shiba dog, I have begun to wonder how common are dogs as pets in Japanese cities. Thank you for the entertaining ramblings and interesting news, Maximilian. You know what? Hmm. I don't see that many dogs in Japan. I always assumed there was more cats than dogs, but somebody commented recently saying there are more dogs. But where are they? Because I'll be damned if I've seen them anywhere.
Where are the dogs?
Let's find out. In Japan, more dogs or cats? What do you think, Pete? Mate, place your bets now.
I sort of think there's more of a cat culture because
there's definitely more of a cat
can
culture.
Just get on with it, can't they? But maybe dog. I don't know, because you've got to be quite careful about how big your dog is, I suppose, because nobody has any blooming space in the cities, do they?
Very true. Yeah, exactly. People live in such small apartments. So much of the population lives in small apartments, and you're not allowed animals in many apartments, right? I don't think I've ever lived in a pet-friendly apartment in all my years in Japan. Right, so turns out you're right. It says this is 2018, right? The number of pet cats exceeded that of dogs for the first time ever in the country last year. Cats extended their lead. Oh wow. So only in 2018 did this happen. Did this switch begin? The estimated number of dogs fell by 17,000 to 8.9 million in 2018. By contrast, the number of pet cats increased by 123,000 to 9.6 million. Cats are apparently more fuss-free than dogs, an association official said, adding that the declining trend in the number of pet dogs is expected to continue. Ah, I didn't know that. That's kind of sad.
It's very sad. Is it because is it because there's fewer paper walls these days? Back in the day, you wouldn't want a cat and a paper wall. It'd have it ripped to shreds, wouldn't it?
I honestly don't know. I think what we do know is the rural population in Japan is collapsing. And that is probably statistically where people are more likely to have dogs, right? Out in the countryside. That's certainly where I see more dogs. And people are migrating towards cities, like Tokyo's population and Sendai's population are going up because they're sort of draining and sucking up all the people around the countryside. So maybe all these people are moving to cities. Maybe they're getting cats in their tiny apartments and dogs are being left behind. But that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. We'll have to dig a little bit deeper into that. That's a podcast episode in the making. Isn't it, Pete?
Why don't you do a documentary about cats, mate?
Oh, fuck off. Don't you dare. Don't do it. No. Not again. Dog Nation. Chris Broad's Dog Nation.
Dog Nation, baby.
The dogs of Japan. Like, God, that... Oh, man. Go watch Cat Nation. You haven't seen it, have you?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Go and watch it.
No.
Sit down.
You told me not to watch it, so I watch it now. Out of respect for you.
Watch it now. Fine. You'll see how awful my presentation style is. Honestly, it's such a shame. If I did that now, I reckon I could knock it out of the park. But back then, when I filmed it in 2016, my presentation skills were shoddy as fuck. And I didn't know the secret to presenting, where you have to go up like this and talk like this and have excitement in your voice. Back then, I was like,
right.
This is a cat, and the cats are in Japan, and there's so many... Oh, it's a cat.
Maybe,
monotonous.
Maybe my character, the secret Frenchman. Because you could review it. Le Chien. No, not Chien, that's dog. Le Chat Nichon.
Oh, God. That would be the worst worst possible alternative. Pete's French persona in Japan.
Peachy French.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Keep an eye out, guys, for the 12 Days of Christmas. It's a series I'm working on. One new video every other day in the run-up to Christmas on either the Abroad Japan channel or Chris Abroad. Check it out. And the last one that came out was probably the one with the awkward encounters with the viewers. It's a good one, that. Check it out. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out in the big wide world, have a great week, and we'll let the dog sing us out. Bye for now.
Happy birthday.
Oh, dear.
You. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Pavarotti.
It's lovely. Big Pavarotti dog. Happy birthday.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.